welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an awesome day today. It's pretty beautiful down here. Actually, it's really beautiful down here in Florida today. This is always the time of the year that's really nice when it cools down. It's in the high 60s for the day, low humidity, clear sun. Not a whole lot of chemtrails today, Dad, either. We were just talking about that. Dad. So it's great. I know you're enjoying this weather, too.
Well, no, my wife wanted to go up to the mountains at the end of the week, which is okay. I mean, I don't mind. It's going to be really cold up there up to North Carolina. And then I find out that at the end of the week on Monday or Sunday of next, when we were going to go up there, that we basically had another rain front coming through. It's going to be rainy for like 3 or 4 days. And I told her, I said, you know, rainy weather in the 20s and 30s, you know, it just doesn't really appeal to me when I can have this type of beautiful weather down here. So we're thinking about going to the Florida State Gator game. I've got some tickets for that, but I'm not sure if I want to go or not. So you guys who are listening today know anybody who want to go to the Florida State Gator game, let me know. And so we can either go or not go. I don't care about that. But, you know, we've been to several games this year already. So anyhow, so Florida State football is something we're not going to talk about today. Okay. What's interesting to me is John Rappaport put out a blog last week, and I thought it was really, really good. It was like, I think, Friday or Saturday, so we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. And it says, the major media has crashed, and they need a scapegoat. Major media crashed, they need a scapegoat. So he goes on to say, they kept telling the American people that Hillary was going to win the election, and in every way they could think of, they told the American people that it was a good idea. Then on election night, the media crashed, and when the results came in, the media went into deep shock. As protests and riots then spread across America, the media neglected to mention they had been bashing Trump because he said he might not accept the outcome of the vote, and there were large numbers of people on the Democratic side who weren't accepting the outcome of the vote either. A new campaign had to be launched, and suddenly on cue it was Hillary Clinton lost because of fake news about her had been spread around during the campaign, like her being a Sabbatean witch, which is completely true. Fake news sites, that was the reason, like, you know, Breitbart and Alex Jones and the Ted and Austin Brower Show and the Hagmans and the Hodges and Sheila Lewinsky. Fake news caused her the election. These fake news sites had to be punished, and somehow they had to be defamed, blocked, and censored. Here's an excerpt from the fake list of sites. In fact, you're talking all the different ones they talk about. We talked about some of that last week. Then Obama put in his two cents. Because in an age where there's so much active misinformation and it's packaged very well and it looks the same when you see it on Facebook or in turn on your television, if everything seems to be the same and no distinctions are made, then we don't know what or how to protect. Because we don't know how to protect, meaning what to favor, to promote, or lie about, meaning only some free speeches here. Obama is way, way behind the curve, and thousands of websites and blogs have been exposing major media as a fake for years. Now, here's what I want to stop on this, because when Donald Trump was on 60 Minutes a week ago, and he was interviewed after the election, I talked a little bit about that, about what Trump had said when I came on the Hodges show today, the Common Sense show that night. And here's one of the things that really struck me, Austin. It's very, very strange. I believe it was Leslie Stahl who was interviewing Trump. She made a really big deal about the fact that Trump had used Twitter and social media to build his campaign and spend a tenth of the money that Globalists have spent trying to put the butcher of Baghdad in the office. And what she was trying to get him to say is that he wasn't going to send out any more tweets or Twitter or Facebook and all of this huge media outlet that he has now. So he quickly told her, he says, look, I've got 27 million Twitter followers. When I put out a tweet, it goes global and I get my information that I want to get out. Now, see, that's a big no-no to the Khazarian, Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian elite, Rothschilds, who run and own the media. They don't want Trump to be able to bypass them and say to 27 million people, they're lying again. This is a total and complete lie. Trump was lied about so much in the mainstream media, and now the laws have been changed that there's really no punitive action you can do as far as getting a monetary reward. They're just basically told to stop doing it. So they can pretty much say whatever they want to say whenever they want to say it, and there's nothing you can do from a lawsuit standpoint. So they can completely defame you, and there's nothing you can do. This is what they wanted to bring in, this type of legislation, because that way they can continue just to lie about everybody on the mainstream news and pretty much say whatever they want to say about whoever they want to say it about and just totally discredit them. For instance, they tried in the beginning to say that Trump was a pedophile. They tried in the beginning to say that Trump was gay. They tried in the beginning to say that Trump was pretty much everything that could be said about anybody, and none of it stuck because none of it was true. So Henry Kissinger just got interviewed this past week, another one of these wicked globalists, who, by the way, I've met in person. Nasty man. You can just feel the evil around him. And I've spoken to him for a few minutes at one of my seminars I did back in the 90s. He was also a featured speaker at the seminar. And what was interesting about this is that Kissinger said that Trump has no baggage. He has nothing on him. So he can pretty much do what he wants to do. See, when the country was founded, let me get into a little bit of weird stuff here for a second. You know, the Illuminati, okay, if you want to call them that, or the secret societies, or whoever was involved with ISIS and all the other stuff with the phallic symbols and the Washington Monument, and Tom Horn talks about this stuff in such detail, they were pretty much in charge. I mean, the entire Washington Capitol being laid out in a pentagram with an open leg to basically trap in the seething energies of Lucifer, okay? And then you've got that group of weirdos doing that, that's all based on satanic doctrine, and you got the other group of weirdos, the Rothschilds, who are the Sabbateans, who basically have their own satanic druidic teachings. So you got these two groups that are continually fighting each other for domination of the world. Now, what's really strange about all of this is it seems as though these international bankers have been checkmated. But guys, let me share something with you about this very quickly. The international bankers are not going to go down without a fight. Now, this is very important that you guys all think through this with me today. These guys have had control of the United States now for 100 years. They've literally extracted hundreds of trillions of dollars, quadrillions of dollars of wealth from the United States. They've literally gone in through their exchange stability fund and sold huge chunks and swaths of the United States and infrastructure to the communist Chinese. These guys are working directly with the Chinese to try to bring in a Chinese totalitarian regime into the United States. China is our problem. It's not Russia. Russia is basically a Christian nation again because of Vladimir Putin, from what he says, and he basically has called out all these New World Order groups. Now, whether China's going to basically step back and allow us to take our country back over again, I have no idea because of what they own in the United States. But guys, this is not the end of this war that we have against the globalists. Please understand this. And I'm not trying to be a purveyor of bad news here, because I'm still very excited that Trump won this election. What I'm saying is this. We've got around, I think, 59 days now before Barack Obama, the gay Kenyans out of the White House. And the truth with all that is that we can't be sitting around twiddling our thumbs. We've got to maintain this battle, because we've won the battle with the election of Trump. We've done that. But this war is ongoing. It's been going on for a long, long time. And these guys, because of the wealth that they control through the Federal Reserve Bank, because of what they've done globally, because of the way they've enslaved a large portion of the world's population, these guys are not going to go down without a fight. I personally think we've got about a 59-day rocking chair experience coming up. I don't think they're going to do much with their Kenyan in the White House, because they don't want to have it all be a big blowback on him, Austin. I don't think that's going to happen. But what they want to do, I think we need to really be careful with the markets, with equities, all of that stuff right now. I had a friend of mine call me up the other day. He's a wealthy individual. And he called me up. He goes, well, I'm about to get back in the equities market now, because I think the stock market's going to double in the next few years. And I said, well, I said, it might. It might, unless they contract the M1 money supply, because if they do that, then we're going to have a major, major, major mess. So, because remember, when Ronald Reagan, he's basically re-implementing the Ronald Reagan strategy. He wants to drop the top tax bracket down to 15% and basically allow people to have more of their money. Here's the problem that we have right now with that strategy. When Reagan came into office, the interest rates were almost 20%, hovering around 20% with Jimmy Carter. The dollar was extremely strong on the international currency markets because of that. You know, we had stagflation. We had real high unemployment with high inflation. All of those factors that Reagan had when he started doing what he did are not there anymore. The central bank in the last 7-8 years since that crisis happened in 2007, 2008, they've literally pumped trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of liquidity into the market. They've lowered the interest rates now to almost zero, and they've been that way for years now. There's not a lot of room they can go. I mean, they can go under zero and start charging people interest on having their money in the bank, which they're doing in some countries now, but they really haven't got a lot of weapons from a Federal Reserve standpoint to try to massively increase the value of the dollar or to increase the M1 money supply at this point. They've done so much of that now in the last 7 or 8 years. Plus, we have to address the Federal Reserve Bank. We have to take a look at this. Trump has to start issuing dollars that are basically non-debt-based currency instruments is what they are. What we have now is a debt-based currency. We've got to stop that. We've got to start looking at the resources that the United States has with the gold, the silver, the oil, and all the things that we have from a geographical standpoint, and the dollars have to be issued on that. We can't just do it on the gold alone because we can't produce enough dollars because we've lost most of our gold reserves to the Federal Reserve Bank and had it all shipped back to the Bank of England, and a lot of people are saying that it's over in Israel. I don't know where the gold is. I haven't been in any of the underground vaults where they house this stuff. But you can still use the natural resources of the United States and the industry that we had here at one time. I mean, right now, Detroit is just a total, complete wreck of what it once was. The car capital of the world has become a shell of itself because of globalism. And now it's besieged with poverty and just ruin everywhere. Well, that's what they want for the entire country that we live in, because if they can do that to us, then they can bring us into a one-world government a lot easier. The biggest thing that we have going for us right now in the United States is that we're still the breadbasket of the world. We still produce a lot of food, especially in the Midwest, in Iowa, in Wisconsin, in Montana. All of the country, all of these states in the Midwest have so much production as far as food supplies. The way they're able to control the third world like they do, this Rothschild banking cartel, is they do it through starvation. And if people are hungry enough, they'll do anything they have to do to just survive. The people in Venezuela, they're not down there giving people high fives, you know, because of the environment they're in right now. They're eating their cats and their dogs trying to survive. 99% of their energy is spent trying to feed their family at this point. This is where we can't go in the United States. If we lose the reserve currency status, if we lose the petrodollar, which they're trying to maintain and struggle with that George Bush and the guys, then we're going to get a very quick reality check of what we can do on credit. That's why we really need to fix this debacle that we call the Federal Reserve Bank, and we need to get rid of this thing, and we need to nationalize these assets. Unless we get rid of the Federal Reserve, which Ron Paul has talked about repeatedly, and go back to sound money, we're not going to fix this mess. It's not going to happen, because as long as you give these guys the rights to print trillions of dollars on off-book balance sheets and buy up the entire New York Stock Exchange and all of the Fortune 500 corporations and all the blue chip stocks, and you let them do that without having to be held accountable for stealing all of this stuff, you can't fix it, because no matter what happens, they're going to come out on the other end owning everything. That can't be allowed to happen. So we've got to go in and we've got to stabilize everything, including the Federal Reserve Bank. You don't even have to change the Federal Reserve name. You can leave it like it is, exactly like it is, nationalize it, throw these Khazarian mafias bankers out of there that basically are a bunch of lowlifes, because their structure is still there and it still runs the entire monetary system, which has to be maintained, but you can start issuing debt-free currency through it. And I'm not talking about doing a Zimbabwe of starting to print hundreds of trillions of dollars. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about enough to make sure that we have adequate amounts of credits and balances and checks in the United States to handle the monetary flow, because a system of credit has to be established for this country, as large as it is, to continue. That's why I don't believe we should destroy the Federal Reserve Bank. I just think it should be allowed to issue debt-free currency based on congressional mandate. And we also basically need to go ahead and get rid of all of the debt that we owe the Rothschild banking community, which is in the trillions and trillions of dollars now. And we have to find a way, because of what they've done, to go ahead and seize the assets of these Rothschild bankers, wherever they're being hidden, to pay off the debt from the money from the bonds and the T-bills they sold to other countries in our name to carry our debt, because this was all done illegally. So I believe that they should be held accountable with their $1.5 quadrillion worth of net worth to pay back all of these other bills to all of these other countries. If we don't do it this way and we don't do this immediately, Trump's going to find himself fighting these guys at the Federal Reserve almost immediately after he takes office, because all they have to do, guys, is to raise interest rates. As soon as they raise interest rates, the bond prices are going to completely collapse. If the bond prices collapse, we're going to be in another mess like we were with the housing crisis back under Reagan. In addition to that, if he starts raising it, they start raising interest rates faster and faster and faster, it's going to increase the cost of our money they're selling us. Because remember, the discount rate and what they charge the United States government through the Treasury for the cost of printing the money goes up as soon as they say it goes up. They can raise any amount they want. Because remember, these guys are not under the jurisdiction of the federal government. They are above the law. They are above the country. They don't answer to anybody. That's the way they set it up in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. In fact, when they were interviewing that Bernanke, he said, we don't answer to anybody. We don't have to answer your questions. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? They're like insulted when they have to appear before Congress. Well, as Andrew Jackson did in 1832 when he revoked their charter, that's what we have to do. Basically, we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, nationalize their assets, take back what they've stolen, take the money back from them that they've stolen to all these other countries, and basically give this money back to these other countries. And you can do it by seizing their gold or their other tangible assets. It doesn't make any difference. And then selling and liquidating and sending the money back to the China or to Russia, whoever owns our national debt at this point, which is primarily the Chinese. But guys, it has to be done this way, because if we don't do it this way, it's not going to fix anything. Also, we've got to realize that we've got to take this group of satanic cabal members, that these pedophiles that are raping these children and trafficking these children, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, even before the election, these guys who are involved in the raping and the trafficking of children, they have to be put on trial, and they need to be hung from the Capitol steps in gallows. They say, well, Ted, that doesn't sound like a Christian attitude. Well, guys, let me explain something to you about this. Jesus said that it'd be better for those who treat these little children unfairly that a millstone be hung around their neck than cast into the sea. And the reason for that is these innocents, these children that have been sacrificed to Lucifer, whose blood they have drunk, or who they've sodomized in their pedophile rings, or they've hunted on their hunting lodges as if they were animals, these people have to be brought to justice. This is not okay. None of this is okay. Now, that's why I believe in some cases capital punishment should not be used, but in this case, I believe it should be used. Because, guys, we have to set an example of these people and who they are and what they are. And we have to realize that this battle is just a battle we've won with Trump. We as Christians now cannot sit back and allow the mainstream media to start the whole lies back up again and believe everything again. We have Christian churches that are now saying, hey, isn't it great? We're almost in the end times. The end's almost here. The book of Revelation's opening up. This is wonderful. These guys are doing all of these crazy things to us, and the book of Revelation is opening up because we're going to get raptured and we're going to get pulled out of here. Guys, let me explain something to you again about the rapture of the church. That was a doctrine that was brought in by in the middle of the 1800s. It was never even thought about for the first 2,000 years of Christianity. No one talked about that. It was done through the Scofield Reference Bible in their commentary that was owned by the Oxford Press, controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. It was done specifically to get the Christians out of the equation. If the Christians believe that no matter what happens, we're going to be yanked out of here in the first load and nobody's going to die because it'll all be over and we'll be in heaven with Jesus, then the Christians are no longer a viable entity which can change the population or change opinions. That's why when a current poll was done and they asked people, what are the major influences in your life that affect you? Hollywood, the media, the Khazarian mafia in Hollywood, and their hatred of Christianity and Christians was the primary thing that changed social concepts and changed behavioral paradigms. That's why we have to stop this. We have to take away the right they have to brainwash us. Now they're saying that the alternative media is brainwashing people in the United States. Guys, Podesta goes to soul cooking parties where he drinks menstrual blood in WikiLeaks. Clinton is a Sabbatean witch. Okay? She went to her witch's coven every 4 to 6 weeks in LA, according to Larry Nichols, who saw her aboard the plane and was told who and where she was going. These people traffic in children. They sodomize children. They go to pedophile island. They have their little pizza place there in Washington where the pedophiles hang out. Washington is a huge gay community. Now, I'm not saying that all gays are pedophiles because it's simply not true. But a lot of these guys, now you listen to me, guys, and if you're gay and you're listening, you tell me if I'm wrong or right. A lot of the gays were brought into the gay community because they were sodomized as a child by a pedophile. And it got them down that whole track of just being down on the wrong side of everything. Now, this has got to stop. The pedophilia has to stop. All of this stuff with these children, all of it has to stop. And if they're found guilty of doing it, they've got to be strung up. We can't allow these people to walk. And like I said, you string up a few dozen people or even a dozen persons or even one or two up there on the Capitol steps, and you go, oh, by the way, we're going to allow everybody to turn state's evidence now. And if you want to turn state's evidence, we'll take the capital punishment off the table. They're going to come out like flies trying to give evidence against each other. I'm telling you what's going to happen. This has to be cleaned out. We've got to drain the swamp. We've got to return states' rights. This giant overreaching arm of the federal government has to be stopped. The states have to determine. If you want to be in a state that wants abortion, okay, then go move to that state. I don't want to be in a state that wants abortion. I'll move out of the state. If you want to be in a state that wants to have men using the bathroom with little girls and you're okay with that, like they are up in Oregon, up in Washington State, okay, I just won't bother to live there. I'll never go there and visit. I'll never spend any money there. I'm okay with that. If you want to do that kind of sick, weirdo stuff, whatever. But the states have to have the ability to determine for themselves what they're going to do, what laws they're going to accept, and who's going to be in charge. And then it has to go to the cities and to the counties and the local municipalities. All of these people need to be in charge to regulate what we will and will not tolerate. And no overreaching authority should have the right to even tell a city what to do. If the city decides that they want to have a mandate that everybody in that city can carry open, open weapon, not concealed. If the city wants to do that and they're in the state of Florida, they should have the right. We shouldn't even have to listen to state law on that. We should have the ability to do that, post it on the sign outside of the city and say, this city is open carry. If you come into this city, please be aware that our patrons and the people who live here have the right to bear arms openly. You see, everybody needs to have those types of rights reestablished, because the problem here is, when we live under tyranny, we start accepting more and more and more of these edicts, these laws that are so stupid they don't even make sense. Like my mother-in-law, I told you the other day, 82-year-old widow woman was cited by the county because she plugged her RV in trying to use it as a battery tender so her batteries wouldn't go dead. She would have to replace them again. And she was cited, and she was told that it's by county law that she cannot have her RV plugged in unless she's getting ready to go on a trip. She has to basically let the batteries go dead in it. Now, guys, I don't know who came up with a law like that, but that's one of those dumb things that we simply are ridiculous. I got to go down to the county commissioners. I got to go to one of their meetings, and I got to bring this law up, and I got to say, look, guys, this is ridiculous. It can't be this way. We can't be getting cited for having a battery tender on a car that we don't use very often. It's nonsense. If they're going to do that, all my friends who have sports cars, you very rarely ever use. We've got battery tenders on all of them. We're going to tell them they can't have their batteries charged up when they get in their cars. I mean, there's a certain point where you have to say, this is just enough. Like last week or 2 weeks ago when I had to go get my driver's license and I went through that whole rigmarole that we talked about. Guys, there's a certain point when you walk in with a driver's license that you've had for almost 50 years and had it renewed repeatedly, that you shouldn't have to produce a records saying that you have a utilities turned on in your name. You should have to produce a record of your birth certificate, and you certainly should have to produce a passport or whatever. There shouldn't be these ridiculous laws that are being put on the books. But guys, remember, all of this is being done to us for one specific reason only. That's to put us into a mindset of following everything they say. By the way, we're not going to take you to a concentration camp, and we're taking you to a resettlement camp. You're not going to a FEMA camp. We've got a whole city that we've set up for you guys, and so you're going to have a great time because all the patriots can be over there. And so just come on. Yeah, bring your guns. Bring your guns. We're good. You can all bring your guns. You can bring your food. Bring everything you want. Just come on with us. Hop on these buses. We'll take you to the resettlement camp. Then as soon as you get to the bus, you go through the bars, nobody sees where you're going, and all of a sudden, at the other side, you're running through metal detectors, they're seizing everything you have, they have machine guns trained on you, and all of a sudden you're like, well, this is not what they told me they were going to do. Welcome to Nazi Germany, 1941, 42, 43, 44, and 45. Welcome to slave labor camps. Welcome to resettlement camps. Welcome to re-education camps. What did the man say last week that I just blew a cork on Friday about how they have to be rehabilitated to accept what we tell them? Guys, that's what we're facing right now. So I don't want to be a person who says, oh, woe is me, everything's bad. No, it's not. God Almighty himself looked down from the throne of heaven and said, you know what? I'm not going to allow the witch of Benghazi to get into this White House. I'm going to expose her, as we prayed on this show, for God to do that. And he did. He exposed her for who and what that wickedness is. But we have to hold their feet to the fire, and we cannot pretend like we didn't read the stuff about the soul cooking parties. Now, guys, I don't like talking about that stuff. It's really nasty. I told you today I had it covered. I don't like talking about it. But, guys, just because we don't want to talk about it doesn't mean we have to forget about it. And we have to tell our friends and the people that we know what they exposed on those WikiLeaks Friday before the election. and why Hillary Clinton was basically not allowed to win. This is a major, major victory for us that Donald Trump's coming in the office. Now, we also have to pray that Donald Trump stays true to his convictions, that he stays true to Christianity, that he stays true to Jesus Christ, that he stays true to not catering and cowing down to the globalists, that he wants to be a nationalist, and he continues to promote the very things that got him into the office, and that he does not capitulate or cow down to the one world order, and he decides he's not going to try to get his agenda in. Guys, he said that he's going to undo every one of Obama's executive orders as unconstitutional his first day in office. I'm holding him to that. I'm holding him to that. I want all of this crap taken off the books. All of this junk taken off the books. All the stuff with the ATF. All of this stuff. All of it off the books. Everything that was an executive order that he can undo, he needs to undo. He should be able to undo a whole bunch of Bush's executive orders, Obama's executive orders, Clinton's executive orders, all the way down to George H.'s executive orders. He can do all that with a stroke of a pen and restore our country back to freedom and get rid of so many of these debilitating laws and things that we just don't need in our environment. That are stifling to creativity and to the businesses that are here in the United States. And also, that's my opening comment for the day. That's half the show, anyhow. So there you go. So what do you think about all this?
No, you're very right on pretty much all that stuff, man. That's the issue that I was going to bring up earlier is I watched some of the clips today on what they keep calling fake news, because I kind of thought this is going to be one of those things they were going to kind of bring up, all the little soft snowflakes that can't handle the fact that Hillary didn't win, keep complaining, and I was like, okay, whatever, but it's actually, they're really, really trying to push for it now. They're trying to say that, again, they need to protect us from fake news, and they need to make sure that fake news isn't out there in the open so people can't get a hold of it, and essentially, like you said, what they're doing now is they're trying to spin off everything that we saw, read, and heard, and know to be true about Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, and they're trying to say it's all fake. It didn't happen. It's not real. It's all fabricated, and that's why she didn't win, is because they lied and made fake news up about her. The problem is when you start seeing tens of thousands of released emails from WikiLeaks, when you start seeing the FBI director get back involved, when you start seeing the head of the NYPD police chief talk about what he saw on the Wiener's computer, you start realizing these are not just fake allegations. These are significant issues that are true, and they were going on before the election. They've been going on for the last 30 years. But like what you said, they're doing everything they can to try and prevent us to have any type of access to free speech, to free media, to real truth. That's why, again, what you talked about earlier about Trump talking about using Twitter, they can't stand social media from that aspect. They love, the globalists love social media from the aspect of honoring people, seeing the algorithms, watching what people do, selling it for marketing and advertisement. But the one double-edged sword aspect that has hurt them a lot is when you have people of his stature now that have become president of the United States, when they have 28, 30 million followers on Twitter, when he posts something out, like you said, it goes viral immediately. It doesn't have to catch a kite. It just goes viral. If the United States is on his Twitter feed, that's 10% of the population immediately gets his feed without even forwarding it to anybody else. That's significant, and they can't stand that because he is able to release and leak out real, true things that are happening in the White House, in his life, whatever may happen, without the media being able to manipulate it and spin it. I noticed that earlier when I watched that article. They kept using the word protection again. They have to protect the American public from fake news. Remember, I've said this, guys, a dozen times. Every time I bring it up, whether it's vaccines, whether it's seatbelts, whether it's anything that they don't want you to do, it's always for your protection. You can't have an AR-15 because it's for your protection. You can't have 30-round mags in California because it's for your protection. It's always for your protection, and it's a complete and total guise. All they're trying to do is manipulate everybody with their mind control techniques, which Dad's talked about before. They're very, very efficient at them with the media, and they use all kinds of subliminal words, the coloring, the blocking of the letters that they use on the headlines, the wording, the colors of the tie, of the clothing that the news anchors are wearing. It's all subliminal. You don't even realize it. Look it up. It all goes down to the basic detail of what they want everybody to perceive the news as, so you believe and suck in everything they're telling you. So when you hear news on the radio, you hear something just vocally through the ears, your mind processes it very quickly, and it's usually pretty efficiently, and you filter out a lot of stuff, especially if you don't believe it or if you know it not to be true. It's pretty easy for the brain to do that. However, the TV has been a great tool in that aspect for the globalists, because when you see photos, when you see people of power, so the news anchor standing there in his suit and his tie with his name across the bottom, news anchor so-and-so, CNN Nightly News, breaking news. When you see stuff like that, it immediately instills A, fear in you because you go, what's breaking? And B, the person you're watching it from is from a position of power. So you immediately subconsciously watch it and take it in as truth because you believe everything they're saying. The same aspect of what we've talked about with the doctors, with the lab coats and the stethoscopes, and they come in and demand that you inoculate your child with all these toxic vaccines with aluminum and formaldehyde in them, and that if you don't do it, basically you're a horrible parent, and they're considering calling, you know, child services on you if you don't do this. That's what it all comes all about. It's power, control, and manipulation. That's why everybody has to start understanding that we have rights. Everybody's forgetting that aspect of it. When everybody's running around screaming, tolerance, you can't say this because it offends me, and they turn around and burn down police cars and throw rocks at riot police cops. The hypocrisy knows no bounds with these people. Nobody even understands. I mean, you can't even imagine what is going through these people's heads, and that's what people have to start understanding now. I mean, just like the other day, whether you are in favor of cannabis or you're not in favor of cannabis, I could care less. All I know is the fact that we have a plant that grows out of the ground, a Scheduled One substance, that you get years felony probation, years felony prison time with possession of this plant, boggles my mind how the government has been able to do this and feed the prison industrial complex. Now, ATF has come out and said, we don't care that states are choosing to legalize it or use it for medical purposes. It's still a Scheduled One controlled substance and a felony to possess. Now they have issued out edicts to all gun sellers, all FFL dealers. If anybody is buying a firearm and you perceive them to be on marijuana, or if they admit to be a marijuana user, you have to halt that sale and notify us. You cannot sell them a firearm if you think they're selling or they're using cannabis at all. First off, anybody that has to give up a right, a God-given right to defend themselves because they're using a plant medically that grows out of the ground is insanity to me. This is what they continue to do. Now, this one thing that a lot of people didn't hear about, 2 weeks ago, the very end of October, on Halloween, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 3-0, preventing firearm sales to medical marijuana users, stating it does not violate their Second Amendment right. This is the guys that they're doing with the medical marijuana. You have to go into a doctor. You have to say, I have this issue, I have that issue. They test you, whatever. They give you a cannabis medical card. Now, under the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, federally, if you carry a medical marijuana card, it is going to be issued by the state. If it goes into the system or it shows up in your FFL dealer, which it's going to start doing next year, they will immediately deny you any type of firearm purchase whatsoever. This is what they're doing with all this stuff. But what's so funny about it, guys, flip it on the side and say, well, how can somebody that's hooked on OxyContin, or better yet, Prozac and Zoloft, they don't have any restrictions on buying a firearm. You can literally be strung out on so much Prozac, Xanax, and OxyContin and legally possess it. It doesn't matter. If you can barely write your own name, you can still buy that firearm legally. This is what they're doing, as Dad was just saying before. More and more and more oppressive laws, more and more ways to prevent us from owning a firearm, more statutes to cripple the very God-given rights that we don't have to be given, guys. We already possess them. Like I've talked about before, driving is not a privilege. It is a right to travel freely, unmolested, on my way in a safe manner. The state, the whole ideology of the state issuing you a driver's license is beyond unconstitutional. It happened up in New York and it happened in Chicago at the beginning of the 1900s. That's where it started, and then it trickled down from there. This is something everybody has to start understanding, because until we start standing up for these rights and not giving in to them, we're literally going to lose all of them. And like Dad said, if Trump gets in and really gets rid of these executive orders, that's what needs to happen. But I'm very, very intrigued to see what's going to happen over the next year, if he's actually going to do what he says or if he's going to capitulate. Because one thing he's talked about, guys, is every time a new law goes into the books, two of them have to come off. I talked about on Friday how this year now it looks like we're going to have 92,000 laws and statutes added to the books, roughly 80 to 85,000 every year the year before that since Obama's been in office. The insanity knows no bounds. My grandma can't even plug her motorhome in on her own property to charge her batteries because it's against city or state or county statute. We're still trying to figure that out because nobody seems to know. This is what's going on now, guys, and anytime something like this happens, we have to start fighting it and getting it repealed, because if we don't, golly, give it another 20 or 30 years, well, communist China will look like it's better than us now, Dad.
Well, you're right. I mean, look what's going on. Just a couple of examples. Look at that mess at Sandy Hook. We never got told the truth about that because of mainstream lying media. Look at the shooting in Orlando. We never got the told truth about that. The media told us they were basically opening fire on each other outside of the club and hitting the fluff off of the fire, the club. You and I went up there to that club, and there was no bullet holes anywhere in the wooden or plastic fencing or the building anywhere. None of it. Okay, we don't even know what happened in there. And then finally, one of the sheriffs sitting there says, "You guys were all lied to. This is what you were told on the media is not what happened here." He says, "Someday it may come out, may it not." And the sheriff tells us that. You guys were lied to. And the other two sheriffs, we tried to ask them questions. They're beside each other. "We can't do that. We're on an FBI gag order." Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. We talked to the sheriffs at the scene. That's what they told me in Austin. Okay, this whole thing is a lie. We don't even know what happened up there because it's all a lie. The media has spun it. They did it all trying to force gun control legislation. Look at Sandy Hook. Look at the professors who've talked about it, who've lost their tenure and been fired from their jobs. Look at all the information that's out on Sandy Hook and how there were no medevac helicopters and how there were no bodies being taken in and out and how there were no open casket funerals. Are you kidding me? How in the world could all that be going on in one place? Well, guys, when you control the media and you're able to do anything you want to do, then you can say, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. No, Saddam Hussein wanted to start selling his oil and other than petrodollars to other countries, and that's why they had to put a stop to him, because they didn't want to have him undermine the United States reserve currency status. Same thing happened in Syria with the natural gas. We know that now. Same thing happened in Libya. The same thing happened in Venezuela. All of these countries have to pay penance to these Rothschild banking overlords who basically have put them into massive slavery and the debt. I mean, we had our country tell us that a bunch of guys with box cutters jumped on an airplane and flew these giant aircraft right into the middle of the trade towers with absolutely no proof these guys were even on the plane except for a wallet or a passport that was found at the scene, could have been dropped by somebody. No proof whatsoever that thermite wasn't used, that a mini nuke wasn't used, that some type of electromagnetic warfare wasn't used. No proof how Building 7 just fell down, all the gold in the basements of the trade towers disappeared. I mean, nobody wants to talk about any of this stuff. Nobody wants to talk about any of this stuff, and we went into war in Iraq now in this Middle Eastern stuff that's been going on for almost 16 years. Trillions of dollars have been spent, and we're no closer to having peace in the Middle East than we were then. George W. Bush's weapons of mass destruction, getting Colin Powell to go up there and basically lie. The Gulf of Tonkin incident that happened, basically saying that we basically were attacked by the Vietnamese. Total lie. Suppression of the brutality perpetrated in Bahrain during the Arab Spring. Nobody ever talks about that because it's all a bunch of lies. They won't talk about it. The time Fox News hired a CIA operative who wasn't even a CIA operative. Won't talk about that. The anti-marijuana propaganda and the furtherance of the war on drugs to feed the federal prison industrial complex. I mean, guys, are you kidding me? I've already told you guys. I have no problem with medical marijuana for adults. It does a lot of things a lot of drugs don't, and it's a lot better than a lot of other drugs are. The thing I don't want to have is just that kids are going to be getting this stuff, you know, when they're 15, 16 years old because they have a headache, or 14 years old so they have a headache. They want to start smoking pot at home. I don't see any sense of that. And now we're seeing, as Austin just pointed out, that now they're going to tell you that you cannot have a concealed weapons permit or carry a gun on you, or you cannot even own a firearm or be sold a firearm if you have a medical marijuana card.
Yep.
Now, that's interesting, because that's going to be millions and millions of people very, very quickly who won't even know that those rules and those laws are on the books. until they're basically told by the state they have to relinquish their cards and they can no longer own a firearm, or the state comes in and basically seizes the weapons. Guys, here's what I will say about the folks that I know who were dopers in high school who smoked pot. This is back in the 60s and the 70s, right? All they did was get really, really chilled out when they smoked pot. They didn't say, let's go rape somebody, let's go kill somebody, let's go rob a bank, okay? All they wanted to do was eat junk food, get fat, and lay around and take a nap. That's all they wanted to do. That's all they wanted to do. They weren't career criminals. Now, a lot of them ended up ruining their lives because they got caught up in the harder and harsher drugs. Yes, and some of those guys did get addicted to meth and all kinds of other crazy stuff and end up in prison because of stealing things and robbing things, but it wasn't when they were smoking pot that these things happened. But pot can be, for a lot of people, a gateway drug and leads to harder and harder drugs. That's a fact. So guys, if you're in a state that has medical marijuana passed, and we're in one that does, then you just have to realize that every time they do something like this, they find some way in the backside of this to try to do more enslavement and more entrapment, yep, which is what they're going to do now. What's your next story, Austin?
Yeah, well, and we've seen that too now with the wood-burning stoves. I mean, this is getting out of hand now. I mean, we saw with the EPA banning them, you know, about 80% of the stoves people had got banned with the EPA. Now we're seeing a lot of county and local governments are actually starting to ban them too now, even further than what the EPA has, and not just ban the sale of stoves, but also just the usage of these stoves and fireplaces. They're saying now that even if you use your fireplace that's built into your house, in some places like up in Washington, it's illegal. You can't use your own fireplace that you own in your own home that you pay property taxes on. Does this make any sense to anybody else? Because it doesn't make any sense to me. Granted, I understand in low areas, as far as lower areas down in the valley with very high population density, running a ton of wood-burning stoves does make the air slightly more polluted when the stoves are burning, but it dissipates. The whole thing about it is they're trying to do this in counties and places that people are even rural areas. Can you imagine if they start passing this up in Alaska? Say, you can't use a wood-burning stove up here. You'll have to buy propane or you'll have to buy natural gas, and you'll have to do it that way. It's all about making people less self-sufficient. It's the same thing I've told you guys before. They don't want people having food. They don't want people having water. They don't want people having firearms. And they definitely don't want people having things to be able to warm their houses, keep their family warm and cozy in the winter, and heat their food. These are all means to try and keep us from being self-sufficient so the government can come in and try and babysit everybody anymore or protect us, as they continue to say. It's always about protection. So this is what's going on now, Dad, and we're seeing it more and more. You can't burn your own fireplace. You can't use your own fireplace now. I mean,
I don't know what to say. I got a back porch here. I got a little fireplace on the back porch, and you know, we burn some wood, and you know, because in Florida you don't really put fireplaces on the inside because it's too hot. You can burn them outside, you know, about 4 or 5 months out of the year, and you know, whatever, you know, whoever, you know, may start a fire for a couple hours, you know, a night, dozen, 20 times a year, whatever, sit around the fireplace and chit chat. Okay, I'm cool with that. Like a little whatever. But guys, you know, not to have the right to do that. I mean, we live on a peninsula that's got air blowing over us all of the time. That's one thing nice about living here. Even when they spray the yak yak out of us with chemtrails, it's moving fast. You can watch it up in the sky. It's just blowing by. You get up there in North Carolina, some of those areas where they spray so heavily, it just sits over you, man. It just kind of soaks down into the sand, into the soil, into the people. So that's one thing nice about this. But I'm not saying that we're not being affected by chemtrails, because gosh, they spray it out in the Gulf of Mexico. When it finally settles, it ends up on you here. By the way, here's some reasons to eat organic if you're pregnant. And guys, and this is also the reason why you need to be eating organic when you're not pregnant. It's very important. Number one is pesticides. You know, whether you're tending a small garden or running a multi-million-dollar commercial farm, bugs and other pests can create serious problems in growing produce. While more research is needed to determine the full effects of food pesticides during pregnancy, pesticides have been shown to reduce womb time and birth weights. They may also elevate the risk of conditions like oral clefts and heart defects, depending on the amount of exposure. Guys, pesticides need to be avoided by everybody. You can't be putting chlorocarbons into your body. You can't be putting things in like chlorine molecules that basically cause this complete destruction of your intestinal flora and your intestinal tract that can make you unbelievably sick. The same thing with herbicides. We've already talked about glyphosate and what it does to you and how it changes you and how it's been linked now to like over 20 different types of cancer. Why do you want to do this when you have a child in you, or even if you're not pregnant, why do you want to put foods in your body that contain herbicides and GMOs? We know that GMOs actually go in and change your DNA, particularly in the presence of chemtrails, especially Morgellons disease. Why are we going to allow these humanists, these transhumanists who want to meld us with machines, the authority and the ability to go in and change our DNA structure? That makes absolutely no sense to me. Stay away from GMOs. And of course, you got the artificial hormones. You got the crazy stuff in there. You got all of these, the soy formulas, all the different things that people drink, you know, to give to their children or drink when they're pregnant, to have all kinds of horrible, horrible side effects. And then you got the antibiotics. The antibiotics are going to wreck your own immune system, wreck the baby's immune system, and just cause you to stay sick all of the time. So guys, we really need to be encouraging change with everybody who we know who's pregnant. Last year, I remember I was talking to a guy and his wife. They were at a Costco. And they had a little baby with them. It was like 3 or 4 months old. And I said, great. I started talking to them. And I said to them, I said, how are you guys doing with the immunizations? And they said, we don't do any immunizations. You know, you need to read about immunizations. They started on me about how bad immunizations were. And I looked at them. I said, give me 5. And I said, congratulations, guys. You passed the question. This is great. I said, that's exactly right. You're on point. Guys, the areas of the country that have the best, highest educated demographics have the lowest incident of immunizations. In other words, the people who read and who study, like the guys who listen to this show, the ladies who listen to this show, who understand what's going on with immunization, they simply say, no thank you to immunizations any longer, because it's that bad. The horror stories of the Gardasil vaccine and what it's done to so many people is unparalleled in any vaccine. Now, the flu shots, this just as bad. 3 flu yep. shots over the age of 50 increase your risk of senile dementia by 50%. I'll repeat that. 3 flu shots over the age of 50 increase your risk of senile dementia by 50%. It's because of the mercury. You know, and you know, we talked about Austin's grandfather the other day. I mean, great guy, brilliant man, but he's going further and further and further into memory loss, et cetera, because every year he gets his flu shot. Every year he gets his injection of mercury. And we've tried and tried and tried and tried to talk to him, but some people are not going to listen, in case you guys haven't noticed. Some people, you can sit there and you can hold the vial of flu shot in your hand and show them that it contains thimerosal and mercury, and they simply don't care. Then the next response out of their mouth is always this: if the government thought it was dangerous, they wouldn't allow it on the market. Guys, I remember back in the 90s when we had those giant trials with the tobacco manufacturers, listening to key people from some of the major universities, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Ivy League schools, get up there in front of Congress and swear under oath, top scientists, that nicotine was not addictive, nor was cigarettes addictive, nor were cigarettes harmful, nor did cigarettes cause cancer or any kind of birth defects or any kind of diseases. Guys, these are just paid scientific hacks. They are paid, they're hired guns. They basically tell you whatever you want to hear if you give them enough money, and they put their reputation on the line, because it's all part of that big thing we've talked about, how they program you through the alpha brainwave state, the theta brainwave states, through the TV set. Now, guys, it's really important. Austin's made one really good point. We made a bunch of good points. One point he really made was how the lies that you're getting from the media, they're all crafted in with the set, with the colors, with the tonal modulation, with the frequency, with the flicker rates, all of these different things. But, guys, the one thing that always shows they can't cover up, that's why if you watch the guys and how they move, they can't cover up body posturing and body language. That's why every once in a while, even the good ones will say something that's a complete and total lie. You can tell by just looking at how their expression looks. They're lying. They know they're lying. They don't want to say it. They're being told to say it because they have this sour look on their face. And that's why they sit so motionless in most cases when they're doing the news. You never see hand gestures. You never see anything. It's like a talking head looking at you. And the reason they do that is they don't want you seeing the body posturing, because when I do a seminar, I was taught by the best, by Zig Ziglar and the rest of them, 80% of what that crowd perceives when you speak is not what you say, it's what you do with your body and how you move around, what direction you're looking, how you move your head, how you hold your hands to your chest. All of these different things are things these guys are taught when they're paid professional hacks and paid professional it's propagandists is what they are. They basically are being told to tell you the lie. Whether they want to tell you the lie or not doesn't make any difference. They're told what the news is, and they're going to report it the way they get it from the Rothschild masters, and that's how they do it. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, yeah, and to go on the flu vaccine, guys, do some research on the flu vaccine this year. There's already been all kinds of illnesses and paralyzed issues with children and everything else. Remember, they're saying anybody 6 months or older must have the flu vaccine. You need it. If you don't get it, you're going to get the flu. But what's so funny about this, and it's not funny like ha-ha, it's ironic because of the lies they tell everybody. Every time I talk to somebody on the phone, via email, in person, and they've gotten the flu vaccine, every single time they end up getting super sick. If they don't get the flu, they get some weird type of weird sickness that's similar to the flu. Every single time. And I look at them and I go, why'd you get the flu vaccine? Well, they told me I needed to get it, so I got it. And I said, well, if I tell you you need to go snort a line of methamphetamines, are you going to do that too? Like, if that's what we're basing things on now, like, I tell you you need to go do that, so you do it. I mean, is this, what are we doing here now? Are we thinking for ourselves? I mean, that is ridiculous. And so every time I see somebody get the shot, they always get sick. And we're seeing this really bad this year. A, you can't even do the nasal one now. Because remember, the nasal one, it still has to go through your nasal passages, be absorbed through the mucous membrane, partially get down into the lungs, and then be absorbed to the lung tissue. They love to do it with the intramuscular needle. That way it goes through the skin, it passes through the skin barrier, goes directly into the muscle, and is able to go directly into the bloodstream without any type of barriers, guys. This is the most effective route to push all those toxins into your body. The thing about it is now they're even saying that people suffering from egg allergies still need to get vaccinated. Remember before they said there's issues with it because it can cause all types of anaphylactic shock if you're allergic to eggs and you get this. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying, no, we still use eggs in it, but it's such a small amount now, it's safe, so it shouldn't cause any issues, and doesn't matter, we're still seeing people that are having issues with it. But remember, guys, what I talked about a couple weeks ago with King Obama's executive order called Advancing Global Health Security Agenda to Achieve a World Safe and Secure from Infectious Diseases. Man, that's such an amazing name. I don't know who is their marketing guru that came up with that to push a forced vaccination executive order, but that's great. It sounds amazing, and that's exactly what it was supposed to do. It sounds so awesome that nobody could argue with it. How in the world could somebody say, no, I don't want a world that's safe from infectious diseases? What are you, crazy? I want infectious diseases to be around. It's ridiculous. That's why they've used the name. So we see King Obama doing that as far as trying to work with the UN now to mandate vaccines to forcibly vaccinate you. The CDC coming in saying they can quarantine you even if you're showing no symptoms. If you're in any type of area they perceive to have some infectious disease, now we're seeing them tell everybody to get the flu shot almost harder than ever this year. This is what they're doing, guys. They're ramping up the propaganda. They're saying fake news is bad. Fake news is evil. Stay with regular CNN news and we'll protect you. We'll give you the real news. You don't want fake news. They're doing it all precisely right now because they've realized in the last couple months the media and the filth poop that the media has been feeding us, that the government has been feeding us, everybody's starting to realize it's a big, fat, bold-faced lie. People are waking up and realizing it. Now, regardless, like I said, with what Trump does here, with what he does in January, I don't know. I really hope he stays true on stuff. There's no telling, though. There's absolutely no telling. There's a lot of stuff going on. But all I know is that from what we knew about Hillary to what we even saw about Hillary in the last couple weeks and how she was exposed made me realize that, man, we are blessed to not have that nightmare witch in the Oval Office for the next 4 years, even if Trump, like I said before, can't do 90% of what he wants to do, it will still be 1,000 times better anything she was going to do. So back to the vaccines, guys. Stay away from the vaccines. Do your own research on them. Look them up. Read about them. Get real, true news. Don't get fake news from CNN. That's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start calling CNN all the guys. I'm going to start calling them fake news. Because that seems to be what they like to do. Whenever they do something, they accuse everybody else of doing what they do and then claim they're the ones that didn't do it. That's typical psychological warfare. But that's what I'm going to start doing, is calling CNN the fake news.
what we call it, constant nonsense news, which is, yeah. which was CNN, because that's exactly what the communists did. They would do, they get caught doing something, and they would blame the other people for doing it when they were the ones who were doing it, and other people weren't even doing it. Here's another article from the NPR. I love this. This is great. The National Public Radio has apparently decided they are no longer going to conduct live interviews of conservative commentators who may have controversial views. In other words, the truth. This comes after an interview with Breitbart's Joel B. Pollack. The news site's editor-at-large was defending his former boss and Trump administration appointee, Stephen Bannon, from claims of anti-Semitism and white nationalism. Things got difficult for the taxpayer-funded radio network when Pollack turned the tables and reminded them that NPR has their own racist programming, including a story that called the 2016 results nostalgia for a whiter America. Listeners to the interview were apparently outraged that anyone from Breitbart had been given the opportunity to defend the website or its chairman. The station's ombudsman, I don't even know what an ombudsman is, so I don't know what that means. Elizabeth Jensen is recommending that the news service ban future live interviews of conservatives. She said that the live format allowed Pollack to get the better of his host, Steve Inskeep. Future interviews should be taped, she said. In addition, to my opinion, these interviews should not be done live ever. Inskeep is an excellent live interviewer, but live interviewers are difficult, especially when there is limited time. A little contextualizing never hurts. By contextualizing, Jensen means selective editing. She means explaining what someone is saying or declaring it racist or anti-Semitic. Breitbart reports Jensen went on to argue that contextualizing has worked for a similar interview with KKK leader David Duke, as well as for an interview on November 17th with white nationalist Richard Spencer. So here's what they're saying they do. They tape you, don't give you a chance to rebut them, and they put a huge thing in there about you, basically claiming that you're a nightmare and you're an idiot. And then they have the next statement you make, and they break you down into little 20 and 30 second sound bites in which they rebuke you that you have no way to come back and say this. This is why Ross Perot refused to do taped interviews. For years and years and years, I stopped doing taped interviews because of this very reason. Because they basically reduce you to a sound bite, take what you say, cut it into little pieces. They can either make you sound great or sound horrible, but it doesn't make any difference. It's not what you're saying. It's always out of context. That's the problem that NPR's run into now, that this agenda of calling everybody an anti-Semite. So if I say the primary folks who run the Federal Reserve Bank are Khazarian Jewish bankers, okay, that makes me an anti-Semite. No, it doesn't. It's just a statement of fact. If you say Abraham Lincoln had some real problems in the South, that doesn't make me a racist against blacks. It just makes me make a statement about Abraham Lincoln. If you say the Chinese are basically using our own missile technology against us, that doesn't make me a racist towards Chinese people. You've got to have the right to speak the truth and to say the things that are not as if they were, like the Bible says us to do, and the things that are the correct way. That's what we have to do. We have to make sure we tell the people the truth of everything that's happening on an ongoing basis. And that's what we do on this show. Guys, we love you and we appreciate you. We thank you and we thank you for getting your Health Masters vitamins from us and your multiple vitamins from us. Austin, go ahead and close. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you for everything, guys. We appreciate it. Thank you for all the emails and support over the weekend. Chelation Therapy still on sale. Product of the week. Healthmasters.com. Give us an email. Give us a call, shoot us an email if you got any questions. If you guys need anything, let us know. You guys have a safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.